morning, good morning, good morning. Glory to God. Welcome once again to a very, very, very wonderful day. Yes, it is a wonderful day. Like I said yesterday, name the day, okay? Name it. Don't let the day name itself. You name the day. You call it a good day. You call it a favor-filled day. You call it a wisdom-filled day. You call it a blessing-filled day. And like I said some days ago, don't just say, oh, God, bless me. No, seek ways to be a blessing. And it always isn't, you know, financial. Right? It could be kind, counsel, you know, check on somebody, show care, give a bit of a listening ear. Just be a blessing. Be a blessing. God has blessed us. So we could be blessings. God has comforted us. All right, 2 Corinthians also says, so we could comfort others also. So you are blessed to be a blessing. And then you have also been comforted. So as to comfort others also, oh, but I'm going through stuff. I have a difficult situation at hand. Things are not working the way I want them to go. God has still anointed you. God has still empowered you to be a blessing. Now, take Joseph, for instance, okay? So he was in Egypt, right there. I mean, wrong situation, all right? Almost being killed by his brother, now sold into slavery. So Joseph is in Egypt as a slave, okay? Sold to Potiphar's house. Then you know the story. He's blessed. He's rising up, still being a slave. Then Mrs. Potiphar likes him, wants to sleep with him, sets him up. He ends up in prison. So things get worse for Joseph from what now? Frying pan to fire, or from what now? Maybe fire to a gas chamber, actually. I mean, it gets worse, practically worse for the young man. Things aren't going well for him anymore. And then people are in the prison needing dreams to be interpreted, and Joseph helps out. Joseph is still also rising up in prison, that the prison warden sees the blessing of God upon him and hands the whole place into his hands. Joseph could have just said, listen, things are not going well for me. I cannot be a blessing here. I cannot help anybody here, and nobody should come and tell me I should interpret their dreams. It was trying to interpret my own dream that got me into this whole mess. Hey, everybody leave me alone. And sometimes we do not know when our flesh is taking over and might block a door. Please understand this. All right, there are times when your emotions, all right, when our feelings, our emotions, our flesh, when they just react, I can't take it anymore. Things are no. And then we say the things we want to say, and then God is sending opportunities our way. Listen, it's a good day. It's a great day. It's a good day. It's a great day. So like Joseph, be more aware, all right? Let's be more aware of the opportunities to bless much more than what we might be going through right now. Because eventually it was in Joseph interpreting the dreams of others that his own dream finally got interpreted. So we cannot say which, when. Ecclesiastes tells us, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening we told your hand. You do not know which one will you know, germinate. You do not know which one will bring forth the harvest. You do not know. Does it mean those seeds might not get? No, he's simply saying maximize opportunities. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You have a chance to be a blessing. Be a blessing. Except the Holy Ghost restrains you. Be a blessing. You have a chance to listen. Just be there for someone. Say kind words. Just, yeah, but everybody's always using me. I'm not comfortable. Listen, a whole lot of us feel used a whole lot of time. So you're not the only one, all right? So it's how we respond. And very many times, we need to now be very sensitive and not miss golden opportunities when they come, because the blessings of God most times come in shirts, skirts, and trousers. Yep, let me say that again. The blessings of God most times, guys, they come in shirts, skirts, and trousers. They come in human form. They come in human form. They don't always come looking like blessings. They might just come sometimes looking like a bother, looking like a burden, but you be a blessing. You be a blessing. So it's a great day, okay? It's a day we enjoy blessings, all right? Our day is fully loaded with benefits, but it's not a selfish day. No, a great day also includes you being a blessing to other people. God has blessed us so we might bless others, all right? You know that, okay? God has blessed us so we might bless others. Okay, so welcome once again to this very wonderful Wednesday, beautiful Wednesday. I'll leave you in the hands of Bethel Music featuring Jen Johnson, Goodness of God. So enjoy and then I will be back.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful song. God's goodness is running after, isn't it? Yes, it is. So learn to say that, okay? Learn to say that God's goodness is running after you, all right? Running after. They overtake you. They run you over. You're blessed. And then you're blessed to be a blessing. So we continue on the power of meditation. It's the third day out of six. We're laying it up, and I believe it's been a blessing. So I'll build a bit more on the things we said yesterday because they are very important. And then so we don't just rush off, all right? Okay, so let's meditate. I mean, meditation is exciting. It's good. Yes, early stages, it could be boring. And then even when you're used to it, if caution is not taken, it could slip. Things slip, all right, if we don't grasp them. So we've talked a bit, quite some. I guess we spent most of the time yesterday talking about meditation and imagination, all right? So imagination is inclusive in meditation because it words build pictures. Words paint pictures. So when you speak the word, it paints pictures. When you're thinking deeply, it also paints pictures, all right? So your imagination comes up. Now you could engage it a lot more in the place of meditation, but don't try to work it up. All right, don't try to work it up. Now, so if But give me feedback, right? If you've done any of these, you could let me know, okay, how it works for you, so that I might better now address certain specifics. But the thing is this, the word of God itself is potent. The word itself is alive, all right? The word of God is the most active thing on this entire universe. And that's the truth. We believers need to come into terms with what the word is. Everything you find at work on this earth was put into place by the word of God. The word of God created everything. So the word of God is the most powerful substance, if I'll call it a substance, in this entire universe. So imagine what it is you are meditating on. Imagine what it is we're speaking forth from our mouth. It is the word. It's the instrument, okay, that God used in creating this entire world. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now that's not just the earth world, but the systems, all right, the generations were framed by the word of God. But John chapter 1 from verse 1 makes it clear, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the same was with God. In the beginning, all things were made by the word, and without the word was not anything made that was made. So we see that. Hebrews chapter 1 also tells us, all right, in verse 3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So we see that the world, all right, both, you know, the physical structure world or the generations, all right, the cosmos, the eons, you know, we see that these were created by the word of God. So the word of God has the power. So we don't now have to make it powerful. No, you cannot make the word of God powerful. The word is powerful in itself. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please and prosper where I send it. So you are not to try to make the word of God powerful. You are not to try to make the word of God work. You put it to work. Because the word is potent all by itself. You give it room to work. And that's what we're learning in this series of meditation. You allow the word to work. Give it its place. Give it attention. Let it find expression through your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate, and see what the word will do. Let the word gain entrance into your heart and see what the word will do. So very many times, and that's why I'm trying to build a little more on what we dealt with yesterday. So when you talk the word, it builds pictures. Okay, so I'm the seed of Abraham. 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 Say it with me. Maybe let's do like, 20 seconds or so. Maybe 10. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. I am the seed. I am the seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. Now, in saying that, hope you were thinking of what you were saying as you were saying it. I'm the seed of Abraham. Hope you meant it. Maybe that's what I should have asked first. Hope you meant it. As you say it, meaning it, it forms. It builds a level of confidence. Nothing too strong as at yet. But you say it 30 more minutes. You say it again tomorrow, 20, 30 minutes. You say the day after tomorrow, 20, 30 more minutes. You say the day after that, 20, 30 more minutes. Something builds within you. So there's insecurity, all right, in certain places, or maybe in your area, or something's going on somewhere. I mean, interestingly, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God said to Abraham, okay, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Shield. And if you know, which you should know, that you are the seed of Abraham. So everything God spoke to Abraham also connects to you in that general sense of the word. So God is my shield. God is my shield. God is my shield. God is my shield. God is. And then you say it, you mean it. 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 It begins to form. The word takes effect. The word in itself is powerful. Oh, hallelujah. The word is powerful. We're not trying to give it power. No, not if I say it, the word becomes powerful. No, the word in itself is powerful. The word is powerful, more powerful than you can imagine. All right, but imagination comes in. I might deal with that again before we close, but I need to leave it right now. Meditation versus worry. I didn't say too much on that yesterday, but Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 said, take no thought. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? All right, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Take no thought. And Jesus clearly, you know, said it. How do you think that by worry you would add one cubit to your lifespan? Why do you think worry would add a cubit to your lifespan? Let's read Matthew, all right, 6. And then bring out the juice from it, all right? Maybe just a very teeny bitty juice. So Jesus is teaching us, and because very many people, if they do not worry, they feel they are being irresponsible. Oh, so the thing hasn't worked out yet, and you say I should not worry. Are you asking me to be irresponsible? Oh, the person I'm waiting for hasn't come yet. I don't know what's befallen the person now. Are you saying I shouldn't worry? Are you saying I shouldn't worry? How can you people just be responsible and just be living life like nothing is going on? Are you people not even so sensitive? Everything is not okay and you're not worrying. Matthew 6, Philippians 4, 1 Peter 5, they teach you and instruct you. Do not be anxious. All right, Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 makes it clear. Be anxious for nothing. Some versions say, be careful about nothing. So are you saying we shouldn't worry? No, I didn't say so. The word of God says so. Do not worry. So when we worry, we are actually in disobedience to God's word. It's not an advice. Do not worry. 1 Peter 5 tells us clearly, cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So it's not an idea. It's not, that you would like to feel like Superman. Didn't you hear that the person's in the hospital? Why can't you not feel sober and sad? Being sober and sad doesn't discharge anybody from the hospital. I know it might sound somewhat insensitive, but the life of faith is not sentimental. Because you have to choose now. Are you going to go by emotions and then the devil comes to play on that ground because he likes that field? Or you're going to go by faith and then release the power of God? So what if the person you're waiting for is stranded somewhere? Okay, so what if one of the people's fears have come to pass? What if the person is kidnapped? How does worry release faith to go deliver the kidnapped person? You know the answer, therefore. Worry does nothing. Worry paralyzes your faith, weakens you, so you can't release your faith. Then you're weak, then the person's in trouble. Oh, but be anxious for nothing. By everything with prayer, supplication, let your request be made known. That's why James tells you, count it all joy. That's a verse also telling you, do not worry. He said, count it all joy. James chapter 1 verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith will work out patience. How do you count it joy when things are tough? He says, count it all joy. Do not worry. Why? Because joy is the atmosphere where God operates. Don't forget, in his presence is fullness of joy. And you are in the presence. So joy is your atmosphere. Isaiah says, with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. Salvation means protection, deliverance, well-being, things going well for you. He says you're going to draw water. All right? If you need well-being, if you need protection, if you need to be taken, you draw the water with joy. It's with joy. It's with joy. And Nehemiah teaches us that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not when I am strong, then I have joy. No. And that's what most of us do. Should I just smile? Things are not working. I should just smile. I mean, I'm a very realistic person. I cannot just smile like that. I cannot smile like that. No, you're only showing your ignorance of God's word. And you're showing it so ignorantly. Oh dear. You know, and sometimes we just don't know when we're ignorant of God's word, and then we show it forth so boldly. I cannot smile. Things are not working. Hey, let's be realistic. No, you're telling God, I don't believe your word. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not when we are strong, we will be joyful. Mm-mm. The joy of the Lord is. So in the place of things not working, the strength you need will come from you responding to joy. Oh God, I understand now. Give me joy. No, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is love, joy. Joy is in you. So all you need to do is, I refuse. You know, Paul says, rejoice again, I say rejoice. So you choose. I refuse to fear. I choose to be joyful. Yeah, you might not like someone else quickly just jump up and start running around the house. Glory! Sometimes you do. I've done that too. Sometimes I've entered the restroom and just gone, ooh, ooh, and then nobody might hear me. And you're not screaming at a joyful thing, not because you just got some alerts, you know, showing you some good money or you heard some great favor just, you know, happened somewhere. Is that this thing is turning your head and you want to give a good holy shout. Ha ha! Woo! Glory to God! And then your brain goes, why in the world did you do that? Nothing is working. You say, no, all things are working together. I mean, it's joy. You will push back the gates of hell with joy. So these things are ammunitions given to us by God. All right, so let's read out Matthew 6. All right, so Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, okay? What you shall eat, what you shall, you know, drink, and wherewithal you shall be clothed, all right? Or wherewithal you shall put on. Is not your life more important than meat? Is not your body more important than clothing? He says, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh, this lockdown, how am I going to survive? Your heavenly Father feeds the birds of the air, right? Mm-hmm. And are you not more important than they? 27 asks a very good question. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Solid question we need to keep asking. Oh, I need to worry. If I'm not worrying, I feel I'm not responsible. No, cast your cares. Now, casting your cares is far different from casting off your responsibility. There will be certain things God will have you do, but worrying is not one of it. It's not asking you not to think or plan, but do not worry. You could think, okay, so it's just this amount left. Okay, so let's try and structure for today, tomorrow. All right. For God even said in Matthew 6 that the day's problem is sufficient for itself. You read Matthew 6, okay? Read it down to what now? 35, 34. Really, read it on your own. The day's issue is sufficient for itself. So God is not in support of worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding would mount guard, will build soldiers around your heart, which protect your heart. All right? And verse 8 tells you what to worry about. After he said, you shouldn't worry, yeah. So, let's look at your checklist. What should you spend time thinking about? What should engage your mind? What should fill your thoughts? So, this 8th verse now, Philippians chapter 4, makes it very very, very clear to us. All right, so let's read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. Oh, maybe they kill her. That's not good report. Whatever it is, even if it's Jesus, even if it's somebody hurts you, don't let that junk take space in your heart. Because it's not of virtue, it's not of praise. It drains your energy. You know, very many times we talk about wanting to avoid toxic people, but we ourselves engage in toxic thinking. So don't just say, oh, I don't like toxic people. I don't like toxic people. I need to be far away from toxic people. You do not engage. You don't engage toxic thoughts. They drain you. He's saying, hey, it's those people that are bringing me toxic people. No. I learned something from Kenny Hagin very many years ago. You might not be able to stop a bird from flying across your head, but you definitely can stop it from building a nest on top of your head. All right? So, hey, they will always want to say, oh, they did it. They brought, they do it. They da, 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 da. You do not. Bible didn't say anything about people. He said, you. This is what to think about. Someone could bring an ugly story to you. This whole pandemic issue, I mean, must you monitor every detail every day? Then you confess God's word in the morning. Then you monitor the news throughout the day. Confess God's word in the morning. Monitor the news throughout the day. Confess God's word in the morning. Your heart wants to know, what are you planting here? Are you planting corn or you're planting what? What are you planting? If you're planting the word, stay with it. If you're planting news from media, stay with it. Don't conflict what your heart is trying to grow. Stay with it. So we've touched worry, meditation. Worry versus, no, meditation and prayer. All right, we'll say maybe a little bit of that more tomorrow, maybe. Question is, what do you pray about? Why do you pray? What are you praying for? Most things we're trying to receive now are things that have already been sorted in Christ Jesus. So when you spend most of your prayer time, but is prayer not there so that we can pray about needs? Adam and Eve fellowshipped with God before sin ever came. So what were they discussing? Needs? There were no needs. So the primary purpose of prayer wasn't about needs. Adam and Eve were not binding the devil before the fall, but they spent time talking to God. So the major part of your prayer time should not be about the devil, neither should it be about needs. And then so when you don't have needs, it means there's nothing to pray about. So it just means you never had a prayer life. Prayer is fellowship. It's fellowship. It's you spending time with the Father. You could pray in tongues 6 hours and it has nothing to do with needs. You could pray in tongues 5 hours. It has nothing to do with needs. It fine-tunes you to better click and even fulfill God's needs, if I could say that. You position yourself in God's agenda. Because the things you want, the needs we deal with, God's word assures us that they've all been met. So you are now the one to stamp your ground and lay hold on that thing which is yours. You know, because many of us just, let me pray about it. Let me pray. But sometimes, no. We give to prayer what could belong to the renewal of mind. But like I said, we'll touch that a bit better tomorrow. I mentioned already prayer and memorization. I mean, meditation and memorization. When you spend time meditating, you would obviously and evidently memorize the verses that you're meditating on. But mere meditation is not. I mean, mere memorization is not. Is not meditation. So I'll end again today with meditation and confession. I've said it yesterday. You will find confession inside meditation because you would have to speak forth. But a few questions before we close this morning. When you say confession, what do you mean? Like I said, most of us could pick up a book where we write our confessions or something and say these words, you know, every day. But may I say this, please? So many of us have been confessing Psalm 91. All right. But do you realize that this whole pandemic issue now would reveal to you whether you ever really believed Psalm 91? Whether you really, really did? So it's not, oh, I make my call. No, you have to understand this. All right? You have to understand this. How is your relationship with the word? So I'll build this better because meditation and confession go hand in hand. But I'm asking you as we close, what's your relationship with the word? When you say, I confess the word, what is on your mind? Because you could say it morning, noon, night, just your normal confession. And then someone says it once and gets an answer. You wonder, what happened? It must be in two places, the heart and the mouth. The person might have spent time meditating on the word or spent time meditating on something similar or solidified a revelation in his or her heart. So when the person spoke, it was out of the abundance of the heart. Jesus didn't speak to the fig tree more than once. But Jesus obviously would have meditated. Maybe not on, I'll speak to the fig tree. No, but Jesus would have spent time solidifying his mind. All right? Solidifying his own mind on the fullness of the power of the spoken word. So for instance, you could meditate on, I have what I say. Or just believe that when you speak, things will come to pass. It would solidify your words and you'll see the effect. Amen? Praise God. So Father, thank you because you have a great day today. A wonderful day today. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened. We're strengthened more and more by your word. In Jesus' name. So please let me have your comments. Let me have your feedback. Will be always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you. Great day. Fill us with wonder. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder.
Why